More and more older Americans are choosing to work or having to work in order to meet expenses. This hour, the reasons Americans are delaying retirement. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Our summer series, Iowa at Work, continues with a look at why more of us are working well past retirement age. We'll ask what financial planning has to do with it, or whether it's also a matter of keeping mentally and physically active and socially engaged. Are you in your late 60s or beyond? Do you still work? If you do, is it because you want to or because you have to? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Our summer series, Iowa at Work, continues, both on here on River to River and previously at Talk of Iowa at 10 o'clock. If you missed that, make sure and check out the podcast. This hour, though, we're looking at why more of us are working well past retirement age, choosing to work longer or having to work longer. We're going to find out about financial planning in that area. Also, whether it's a matter of keeping mentally and physically active and socially engaged. We want to reach out to you this hour, especially. We know there are many in our listening audience who are working well past retirement age in your upper 60s and beyond. Why are you still at work? Is it because you want to or because you have to? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, where you could leave a few words about your experience or a question. Or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us, first of all, Dr. Wayne Bicknies is with us, a veterinarian in West Union, Iowa. Dr. Bicknies, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you very much.
You are 80 years old, right?
That's correct.
And yes. You've been in practice since 1964, a graduate from Iowa State, the College of Veterinary Medicine there in 1962, I see here on my notes. And so after 50 years of practicing veterinary medicine, why are you still at it?
Well, maybe another question that could be considered is why not. I am of course not doing it full time. I'm officially half time, and it is something that I enjoy doing, and it's something I can still do. It's a more of a relationship type of thing. I would imagine in contact with the folks I've been in contact with for many years, and so I have relatively good health, and I can still provide the service, and so I think that's probably the reason. And it gets me up in the morning, gets me going, and so it is a kind of a fulfillment thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there a time in your life earlier in your career when you had imagined retiring, or would have been surprised seeing yourself now at the age of 80 still working, even part time?
Well, yeah, there's, you know, over the years, there one goes through periods of times when you think, well, maybe I could be doing something else. But it's always a matter of doing something else, you know, not really retiring. You know, I never really thought of, you know, hanging up the shingle and doing nothing. That really never entered my mind. It's always a matter of doing something, and I... it came around to the fact that what I'm doing, I enjoy doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do you fall in the category of those who choose to? This, I don't know if financial pressures play any part here, or is it just nice to have that income keeping coming in?
Well, you know, you want to keep working so you can pay into your own Social Security. You know.
Yeah. That's only fair, right?
That's only fair. Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't depend on your kids and your grandkids to support you all the time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that Yeah, I think that a continued income stream, although somewhat reduced, I think one is able to do some things. In my particular case, I'm able to contribute a little bit more, you know, financially to various things, various activities and charities. And so it keeps the cash flow going a little bit that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the importance of the connection that you have with your continued work in your veterinary practice with the community members of your fellow community members in West Union? That play a role?
Well, I guess I'm somewhat unique in that I think that I have been, in continuous practice here for 50 years. Soon it will be 51 years, actually, now. And I think that I have been in the business or the practice the longest of anybody here in West Union at the present time. And so it's I don't know if that is a particularly grand thing or not, but I have been recognized for that.
Well, congratulations on that, and please stay with us for a few more minutes, Dr. McNeese. We have a couple of other guests to introduce. I want to mention to our listeners that we'd like to hear from you as well, especially if you're in your late 60s or beyond. Do you still work? Is it because you want to? Because you have to. Tell us your story, perhaps. And I know there are these stories out there. There was a time, perhaps, when you wanted to retire, even tried to retire, and it didn't work out the way you wanted it or the way you'd imagined it, and you are happily working again. Those stories would also be interesting for us this hour. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook or tweet us at IPR Talk. Two other guests I would like to introduce in our Iowa City studio. Tori Myborg is with us, president of World Trend Financial in Cedar Rapids. Tori, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And also Brian Caskey, associate professor of public health at the University of Iowa. Brian, you work on retirement policies for our aging workforce. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Let's get a couple of things from you involving your perspectives here. Tori, from the financial perspective here, how do people generally do when planning for retirement financially? You've been at this almost two decades. What things do you see that people think of and fail to think of?
Well, I think as we talked a little bit earlier, I think it's we all get caught up in our day-to-day lives, especially when we're younger. And maybe retirement's far off in the future. And so I think what the mistake people make is they probably wait a little long to start saving. It's not a priority, which is understandable and fine, but that just pushes the retirement date back, at least from the financial side. It's harder if you start saving in later years. Mm-hmm. It's much harder to make up the difference.
All right. And when you're in 30s and 40s, it seems so far away.
Yeah. And you have other more pressing issues, whether it's raising children or, you know, acquiring property and houses and things. It seems retirement gets pushed to the back burner quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably the most common mistake is people just don't look far enough out.
Mm-hmm. How has that picture changed for people approaching retirement today compared to those who were approaching retirement, say, when you got into your financial planning business?
Well, the biggest change is I think corporations have really stopped the pension aspect of retirement. Not stopped, but a lot of them have reduced pension benefits, which is people used to retire at 60, put in your 30 years, they'd send you a check each month and give you a gold watch and kind of go on your way. Well, as people started to live longer, those became more and more expensive for corporations to maintain. So a lot of them have been frozen or altogether stopped. So that's probably the biggest change. The responsibility for retirement has been thrown back at the end. Certainly is much more on the individual than the corporation.
Mm-hmm. And when you have people walk in for financial planning advice for the first time, is that attitude there, or do we need some catching up as far as you are more on your own than you might think you are.
No, I think people understand it now, especially with concerns about Social Security and seeing when the company tells you they're going to freeze your pension, it's kind of thrown in the worker's face.
Mm-hmm. The horror stories have raised people's awareness.
Yep, and so I think – but in that backdrop, we also have very low interest rates. We've had stock markets that have been incredibly fickle, so it's a very confusing
– Why are low interest rates a problem?
Well, because traditionally people have relied on fixed income – accounts, the interest from fixed income accounts to provide for their retirement. Right now, there's just you can't earn much interest on any what would be considered safe dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brian Caskey in the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa. Tell us perhaps to start off with the situations that you see people, the categories people falling into when they are above retirement age and continue to work.
Well, I think what you first want to underscore is that this is an unprecedented demographic event. What we're having is more and more people living to and past the age of 65 than ever. And then once they get to that age, they're living longer. So in my dad's generation, you didn't have that many people entering retirement as you do now. And then second, they just didn't live as long. So what does that mean? On one hand, if you're healthy and you're doing pretty well and you like your work, like our caller does, you tend to stay engaged more. But the nice thing about it is that as you get older, you also have options. In this case, the person's gradually phasing out of work. He said he moved from a full-time to a part-time position.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing is a lot of folks who get to be around the age of 65, say, I don't want to retire completely. Maybe there's an alternative for me. Maybe I can take a part-time or a second career. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there are people out there who need to stay engaged in the workforce simply because they have not saved enough. They're living longer lives, or perhaps they've had a family member experience a long-term health care issue that's depleted their assets. So they may have wanted to leave the workforce before the age of 65 or 70, but simply can't afford to do so.
Give us the employer's perspective here. As you have an employee aging past retirement, the laws say what? Do you have to retire? No.
No, there's been changes to what's called the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. And so you simply can't say to people, just because you hit a certain age, you can no longer work for us. It's become tied to other variables like productivity and role expectations. And so employers now have taken sort of a, if you will, very drastic response to this, as we mentioned. They used to offer very generous pensions to employees. With the sort of reward for staying engaged with the company for so long, we're going to give you this pension payout at a fixed amount over a period of time. But now they simply said, we're not going to do that anymore. You can contribute to a plan that we call the defined contributions plan, and some of those do well, some don't. Other than that, though, we don't see a whole lot of movement from the employer side, and that's distressing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thing employers and large institutions could be doing to help our aging workforce segue from full-time work into retirement, but it's just not happening yet.
For example, what? And this, it sounds like it could be maybe some legislation needed to help our aging workforce.
Well, it could be handled through public policy, or it could be just good organizations decide this is the right thing to do. So there are examples. Principal Financial, for example, in Des Moines has been cited by AARP as one of the leading organizations for an aging workforce. And what they do is they recognize on one hand, if we're going to have people stay on the workforce past the age of 65, let's promote their health and productivity. They know that these people may experience increased health care needs or elder caregiving needs. We know that they're going to have to take care of their parents or their siblings. So what can we do to help? In some respects, much like we take care of younger parents who decide to stay engaged in the workforce and have kids, they'll create daycare programs for them to access. Employers need to start thinking about those things. So recognizing we're going to have more and more older people in the workforce, what can we do to help them? On the other hand, what can we do to help them think about leaving the workforce? A lot of folks simply just don't have an imagination for what they're going to do when they retire. So they just kind of keep going on with their job because it's what they know. But there are a lot of different options out there. There are second careers. There's a group out there called Civic Engagement Opportunities where you can go spend 6 months of the year volunteering in a different part of the country helping people out. And there's also structural opportunities like phased out options or early payout options that institutions just haven't really come around to offering yet.
Okay. Brian Caskey is with us of the University of Iowa, Tori Myburgh of World Trend Financial in Cedar Rapids. Dr. Wayne Bicknies is with us, a veterinarian in West Union, over 51 years practicing his veterinary work there in West Union. Before we say goodbye to you, Dr. Bicknies, do you have people in the community or around you saying, you know, why are you doing this? Are they surprised, or does this make sense to people when they know you and the type of work that you do?
Well, it's sort of a broad picture on that. Some people say, "When are you going to retire?" You know, they'll ask a question like that, and other people will say, "Well, I'm glad," and other people will say, "Well, keep at it," you know.
Yep.
That is the response from people varies a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah.
Did you have another reaction, another comment?
No. What's that?
Let me ask you this before we say goodbye. Do you have plans at any time for retirement?
Not specific plans. No. Obviously, you know, age is going to take care of a few things.
Right.
Yeah. And I have, by the grace of God, I have been, blessed with relatively good health, and so I can still function pretty well, and I am thankful and grateful for that.
All right, Dr. Wayne Bicknies, thank you very much, and I'm sure you're much appreciated as you have been for decades there in West Union, taking care of people's animals. Thank you for joining us this hour, Doctor.
You betcha. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Join us with your comments. Are you in your late 60s or beyond? Dr. Bickney's 80 years old. Do you still work? Is it because you want to or because you have to? Share us. Share your little story about what you've experienced after retirement age and continuing to work. Let's go to John in Fairfield. He dialed 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us your story.
Well, it's not quite as inspiring as the doctors there. 51 years, that's amazing in one job. That's like my father. he served like 43 years in the Minnesota State Highway Department. I have moved around quite a bit, maybe because I joined the military early in life and it gave me a comfort with moving. So ended up in Texas and Thailand, and then when I separated, I ended up in Pennsylvania for about 30 years. Then we moved out here. My wife and son and I moved out here 6 years ago, and I just a month ago was hired back into the workforce part-time as a RSVP coordinator. It's retired senior volunteer program, people over age 55. And so far, it's just been a real pleasure to go out into the community and meet different people, different organizations, and, you know, either encourage them to provide some volunteers for us to place or, you know, mm-hmm. look at their particular facility as a place that we could place volunteers.
So your new job is involves what day to day?
It's volunteer coordination to bring in the volunteers and then place them in usually in nonprofits or in community service organizations mm-hmm. within the county here.
All right. Getting into a new job at 68, do you find it changes your attitude getting up in the morning throughout the day? Is there more pep in your step?
Definitely. Definitely. I'm an early riser anyway, just have been, you know, my whole life, I think, since I had a early morning paper out as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So I get up 5:30 or so every day anyway. So it hasn't changed that, but definitely, I just have right now a 3-day a week or 3-hour 3-hour-a-day, 4-day-a-week schedule. And I prefer the morning slot for that. It definitely does gets me fired up, and like I said, just more connected with the community.
Right, and you're contributing. It gives you a sense of purpose, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, that's important for us.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's too often I think people look at retirement as a chance to play and try new things they haven't tried before. But what I've heard is stories of people at some point saying, doggone, I sure miss that drive, that purpose, that mission that I had been a part of.
John, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your perspective. We're going to move on now, but we appreciate you sharing with us.
Glad to. Bye-bye.
And Brian Caskey of the University of Iowa, he mentioned, you know, working part-time there. And that's where you say we could improve on our aging workforce, is to make that transition to not working or not working, but to have a spectrum of, well, how much do you want to work?
Well, John provided a terrific example there. RSVP is a national program that's been going on for years, and it's probably one of the few that has this mission in mind about finding older adults who are looking to get out of their full-time jobs. They may either have come to the end of the line with the particular job or may not have the financial pressures that they remain engaged full-time, but they are looking to stay active, engaged, and it does help to have a little bit of financial income coming in. So they find jobs like volunteer coordinator, bus drivers. My father worked as a morning bus driver. The man who drives my kid's bus is older. Retiree, and he just enjoys it. And there's a lot of opportunities that are out there, and it's not on every employer's mind to think about marketing positions to these older adults. People who want to come in on a part-time basis may not need all the benefits that a typical 30-hour-plus-a-week employee needs. And you know what? Generally, these older adults are more responsible on the job. Studies have shown that they show up on time. They're more diligent. They have better customer service. So they're a real asset to the labor force. And then the second point that John brought up is just the huge number of volunteer opportunities that are out there that a lot of older adults aren't aware about, simply because they're not being pushed out there by any large organization. So, for example, through Elder Services, based here in Iowa City, we administer the RSV program for Johnson County and other counties here in East Central Iowa. And one of our most successful volunteer experiences has been called medical transportation. And that is what we call younger older adults, those aged 65 to 70, make themselves available on a as-needed basis to take other adults who are in need of health care services but can't drive themselves to the appointment. So these volunteers will drive out to your house, pick you up, drive you into the hospital or a clinic where you need to see your therapist or your doctor, and then drive you back home. It's a terrific service. It's also a great volunteer opportunity for these folks because it's not very stressful and it's a great way for them to become engaged.
Okay. Brian Caskey, stay with us, Associate Professor of Public Health at the University of Iowa, working on retirement policies in his position for our aging workforce. Tori Myborg with us, President of World Trend Financial in Cedar Rapids, giving us a financial perspective how ready our aging workforce is for retirement, whether they choose to keep on working or not. And when we come back, we'll talk with Chuck Betts. He's on the Executive Council of the Iowa AARP. We'd like to have your story, your thoughts included. Are you in your late 60s or beyond? Do you still work? Is it because you want to or because you have to? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Back in just a few minutes. We're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about how more and more of us are choosing to work or having to work longer past retirement age, into the late 60s, into the 70s, 80s, and beyond. Reasons Americans and Iowans are delaying retirement. Hearing stories this hour and hearing about some facts and some trends. Brian Caskey with us of the University of Iowa College of Public Health, and Tori Myborg, he's the president of World Trend Financial in Cedar Rapids. For a couple of decades nearly, he's been working with individuals' concerns, trying to make the numbers crunch the right way so that you don't have to worry about financing those retirement years, whether you like to work or not. We're reaching out to you for stories as well. Are you in your late 60s or beyond? Do you have work? Is it because you've chosen to have work or you need to have work? 1-866-780-9100. Also joining us this half hour, Chuck Betts in Keokuk, Iowa. Chuck Betts is on the Executive Council of Iowa's AARP. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning.
Just into the afternoon hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck. As an Iowa AARP Executive Council member, what trends are you seeing in Iowans working past retirement? We know that number's been growing. What is it, a couple decades ago it was significantly less than we have today, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the callers and the folks you have there at the studio are correct. More and more people are electing to work after retirement or after a certain age. Some, of course, are financial-based. There's no doubt about that, but I think that occurs in almost every age bracket. Some people choose to work harder, work differently, change jobs because of financial reasons. But more and more, the reasons are turning to be a little higher on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and they're turning to self-actualization and community-based and social orientation and the increasing and continuing intellectual challenge that some kinds of work provide for folks.
Mm-hmm. So we're hearing scientific studies that, you know, in order to stay sharp, you have to stay engaged mentally and stimulated intellectually and socially.
There's no doubt about it. As we all know, one of the big boogeymen for people as they age is Alzheimer's. And many studies have shown that intellectual engagement helps prevent and forestall the descent into that kind of a condition. An active mind is an active mind and will continue to remain active and strong as long as you exercise it, kind of like a muscle.
Mm-hmm. We talked with Brian Caskey of the University of Iowa Public Health about things we could be doing better, what employers could be doing better, or what our society could be doing better to ease that transition, perhaps offer some more choices. What is your view from the AARP about what we need to do to better transition into perhaps a working older life?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that many folks that transition to a retirement state are like me. They choose to, they would prefer perhaps to stay engaged at a higher level in their current work because they like what they're doing, but they want to enjoy the flexibility that timing that retirement can give to them. The things that folks lose when they lose the older employees are skills, experience, the intelligence, and I say smarts as well as wisdom. The things that perhaps corporations and industries and other employers could do is engage in some flexible thinking about how to transition from work to retirement instead of just an on-off switch. Perhaps mm-hmm. there's a rheostatic kind of evaluation here that you can transition through several years from full-time to part-time, and then beyond that, taper off to a full retirement engagement. I have some friends from Boston who are both attorneys, estate attorneys, and they have been successful in negotiating with their firms that they can slow down and then finally drop out of the workforce rather than one day they're in the force and one day they're out of the force. So that flexibility of transition would be great.
Mm-hmm. Tori Myborg of World Trend Financial, is that your experience in talking with clients over the past nearly 20 years, is that people don't necessarily want to put that switch to off? They want to what?
Well, they want to keep working, but they want to work at what they want to rather than what they've, some cases, felt like they had to over the years. So it's not an idea, and the on-off switch is a good metaphor. It's not that they just want to hang it up, grab the golf clubs, go golfing every day. It's just they want to try something new, whether it be volunteer work, whether it be a passion, a personal passion they've had for a long time in art or something like that. But it becomes more of where they design or they are in charge of how their day looks rather than, you know, being on a time clock through an employer.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our caller in Mount Vernon. Meta is with us. She dialed 1-866-780-9100. Hello, Meta.
Hello.
Hi. So are you past retirement age and at work?
Well, yes. I'm 73, and I still work part-time. I actually retired at the age of 65 and moved from Alaska to Iowa and found a full-time job, which I kept until I turned age 70 when I decided I didn't want to work full-time any longer. And so then I kind of fell into two part-time PRN jobs, one at a hospital and one at a clinic. And so I'm very fortunate because my part-time work pays fairly well. And I can pick my own hours now, and I enjoy the income. I could live without it, but I live much better with it, of course. And it keeps me engaged. I'm still able to function and remember all my logins at both with both employers.
That can be tough for us at any age.
I know. I figure as long as I can do that, I'm okay. But when the day comes when I can't remember them, I think I'll just say, this is it. I'm not doing it anymore.
Meta, thank you for your story from Mount Vernon. We're glad you moved down from Alaska to the balmy weather, we have to say today, for sure, right?
Right.
Thank you, Meta. Bye.
Bye.
Chris is with us in Des Moines. Hi, Chris. What's your story?
I'm in early retirement, of early retirement age, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not retired at all. I've slowed up some. I started my own business. I own a construction company, and I've been working at it for about 25 years. And while I was doing that, my wife and I were raising our son, who has just recently graduated from Drake University, and it has worked out so that he has joined the business in this spring. And so I kind of, in listening to the other comments a little earlier, where you just kind of, it's not a switch that goes on and off. I'm not looking for the sunset that I'm going to ride off into yet, but I'm, you know, that's thoughts that I'm entertaining. But my son needs some experience and some tutoring from me and, so that he can gain control of the business. And at that point in time, you know, I, as my desires to travel and do other things, come up, then I can kind of cut back on my work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I've noticed, and I do not have a great financial plan or a financial plan or anything, I probably should, but I've done it intuitively and I think we're doing okay. This is the fourth quarter for me financially. If I can maintain my health and business is good and I keep working at it, this is what will put me over the hump to give me that nest egg, to give me that income in retirement where I can really, if I choose not to work or go on some trips, extended trips or a little more exotic vacations to Europe or to the Caribbean or wherever, I can afford to do that.
Okay. Chris, in your fourth quarter, Chris the Corporation from Des Moines, thanks for your perspective. Brian, it came up in that call and other input that we've had here is this idea of transition. Are there the resources out there, when we've talked with Tori about the financial need there, training to ease on into this phase of life, what other resources are out there for perhaps other areas? Is that a need?
Oh, it most definitely is. As Meta indicated, this first caller there, her retirement experience right now, she just kind of fell into. That's something we want to move away from, people just sort of discovering it on their own, to having opportunities to go learn and choose pathways and decide which way they want to go. It will lead to a lot of neat and interesting outcomes. And how does that happen? Well, a number of universities across the country, for example, have something called creative retirement centers. So down in North Carolina, which is a retirement destination, older adults who live in the community down in Asheville, can go on to the campus, and there are classes about what to do in retirement that has more to do with the non-financial aspects of retirement than it does the planning for when you're going to withdraw your assets or diversify whatever remains in your portfolio. And these give people an imagination for things they might do. And then secondly, those creative retirement centers actually link them up to both work and volunteer opportunities. These are very neat things to see.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if other cultures, other societies in the world do it better than we do in some senses. Can we learn from other cultures, Brian Caspi?
There are other cultures who are experiencing, if you will, population aging ahead of us. Greece is, for example, Japan. Their societies are older, but have they responded to those in the ways that you'd like to see planning and programs develop for them? No, not yet. Again, this is a brand new, unprecedented phenomenon. We simply haven't had so many people for living so long. An analogy I use is think about our American school system pre-baby boomers. In a lot of towns here in Iowa, for example, you had a K through 12 institution, and that handled everybody. But as the baby boomers came of age, guess what? We had to start building new schools, elementary schools, junior highs,
mm-hmm.
and we had to diversify what happened inside of those schools as those people grew older. So now that same boom has hit retirement age, and we have to create structures and processes for them to travel through, if you will.
Join our conversation. Are you in your late 60s or beyond? Do you still work? Is it because you want to or you have to? 1-866-780-9100. Mary is joining us from Dyersville. Hi, Mary. Are you in that age bracket above retirement age?
Oh, I'm almost getting out of it. I'm 89 plus.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a golden oldies.
Very good. So what do you do to keep active? Are you working?
Well, I raised 8 daughters, we did, and then I have been a nurse in the hospital. And then after I retired, I went to like Doctors Without Borders with a group, Medical Ministry International, around the world, and helped with, went to the back roads and not the tourist traps. And took care of people and people in their homes. I did a lot of things. But my mind comes to my mind now with a veterinarian who talked first, and then you have the principal insurance person, and then you also have the University of Public Health man. And I think the research units at the university should start out an older group like me, perfectly healthy, no medicines, and your mind's good and everything, and do research on them so the younger ones can learn from that, how to live healthy so when they're old they aren't drooling in a nursing home.
Mm. Let's get a reaction from Brian Caspi. I imagine, if not at this institution where you are, Brian, but other institutions, people are really looking at longevity and quality of life into the golden years, aren't they?
Oh, yes. This is a big concern and actually a plug for our other Regents institution. Iowa State University has a center that focuses on centenarians. That is people who live to be 100. And professor there, Peter Martin, and his group are looking at the factors and variables that contribute to people having very long and healthy lives and what keeps them engaged and if you will, out of the nursing homes.
Mm-hmm. Mary, if you're still with us in Dyersville now, we need one case study, namely Mary in Dyersville, to tell us, answer the question, well, what do you think is the key to being active at almost 90 years old, engaged, and as we can hear, very sharp?
Well, thank you. I think you have to get involved yourself. You can't have somebody pushing you. You have to have the get up and go and keep yourself healthy. You know, if you listen to all of these doctors, or I'm not against doctors, I'm a nurse, you know, but all the medications people are getting, and it's pathetic. Do we need it? Can't we eat properly and, as you say, dieting and living well? And I think we got to research that for the younger ones.
Okay, Mary, thank you very much. We wish you many more active years. Thank you for calling in, Mary in Dyersville.
Thank you.
And coming to the end of our hour, we haven't really talked about some of the other repercussions of, I guess, our delayed retirement here, Professor Caskey. Brian, what about, well, our unemployment rate is coming down, but keeping people in the workforce longer has to have an impact on the people who are lower age still in the workforce.
There are challenges created by an aging workforce that may not impact the actual older individual themselves. In fact, if I'm 65 and I can find a way to work part-time or continue to work full-time but not experience, if you will, the same demands, I'd love to do it. But that has an impact downstream. And what we're finding is that persons who stay in positions longer, well, those positions in the previous generation used to open up for younger employees. So as people continue to age in the workforce, they may be decreasing the demand for substitution of themselves. So people who come out of college may find that a position's not available that was available to their parents simply because somebody's been in that position much longer than expected. Another thing that the aging workforce corresponds with are costs. If you look at what our large employers are paying out as far as benefits, salaries, pension contributions, and health insurance premiums, they're all skewed to people who are over the age of 60, and particularly those over age 70. So pension payouts, there's a reason why some cities are being challenged right now because they have a high debt obligation to cover those pensions that people continue to contribute to.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to say it's okay for people to continue to remain in the workforce until they decide it's time to go, well, we have to beg that question. What does it do for the rest of the new entry into the workforce, if you will?
Sean is joining us in Dubuque as we come to the end of this hour, our Monday series during the month of July. Iowa at Work, today looking at delayed retirement. Sean, what's your take on our topic today?
Yeah, I'm actually wanted to provide a different perspective. I'm a young entrepreneur, business owner. I started my own camera store in Dubuque. I'm only 28 years old, and I recently hired an older gentleman who's 55 and was kind of transitioning career, and I did that to bring more experience and perspective to things that I know that I just don't have from being in the workforce for, 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're pleased with that decision.
Yeah, it's worked out great. Some of the compromises that we've worked out is, I can't offer, at this point being a new business, the high salary that he was used to. But what I can offer is flexibility to let him work the hours that work best for him, go on vacations when he needs to. And so we found between having a young guy and an older guy with the two perspectives, we're much more well-rounded from a business standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And Tori Myborg, this goes on to back to what you were saying about retirees maybe needing some money but wanting to work on their own terms.
Right. I think that's, at least in the folks I work with, that tends to be the case. It's not that they want to stop working altogether. They want to stop what they're doing at that point and try something new. And I think the numbers are so overwhelming, we're going to have to figure out a way to balance integrating those, meeting their needs, and still keeping them productive.
Mm-hmm. Brian Caskey, we have a minute or so left. Sean, thank you for your perspective from Dubuque, and we hope continued great cooperation and work there. And good luck with your new business, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, Sean in Dubuque. The last word to you, Brian Caskey, as we look to the future. What's coming at us? More of the same? What are you looking at as far as challenges for our aging workforce?
I just want to echo what a terrific example of a younger person recognizing the value of older adults. And another example of what an institution could do to facilitate this type of engagement. We've talked to the entrepreneurial programs here in town at the University and Iowa CoLab about trying to link the young entrepreneurs with older persons who have both venture capital and experience that could help them move their projects forward. It's just it's a neat thing to see and a huge opportunity for us to look into.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in past years, past decades, we've been, you know, sending people off into retirement with these notions that it is sort of this cookie cutter mm-hmm. retirement and wasting real knowledge, expertise, wisdom that could be really well put to use?
While the baby boomers have changed our notions of what it means to go through school, what it means to be having families, and now they're going to change our notions about what it means to be older. So hang on. It's going to be pretty interesting.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for joining us this hour. Brian Caskey is associate professor in the University of Iowa's College of Public Health. And Tori Myberg, thank you for coming in as well. Tori is president of World Trend Financial in Cedar Rapids. Tori, Brian, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for all the callers. That really helped us along to understand individual situations. Calling, and of course, you can leave if you didn't get in on the conversation. Go to our Facebook page and leave us your comment or question. Tomorrow on this program, we'll look at recent Iowa Supreme Court decisions. Todd Pettis at the University of Iowa College of Law will be with us, and a lot of interesting cases. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.